think we need all kinds of activism in order to get as much attention on what is like an urgent, time-bound, critical issue that is affecting millions already.
Welcome to Climate Humans, a podcast by Hero. Stories about why climate mobilizers are more than heroes, they're humans just like you and me. This week, I'm speaking with Kat Hamilton. Kat joins us to share the journey they've been on, from meeting their future boss at 15 years old at the famous Green School in Bali, to now being the Programs and Partnerships Director at Force of Nature, an organization which is all about transforming mindsets for climate action. They help young people turn climate anxiety into action and do amazing work with business leaders to find intergenerational solutions for the issue of our heating planet. Before we start, please hit the follow button wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really helps us out. Thank you. Here's our conversation. Hi, everyone. Today I have with me a very special guest, Kat Hamilton from Force of Nature. Kat, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, I'm really excited about the work that you're doing. I think you are pioneering the way that young people advocate for the climate crisis and also, of what I understand, bringing together different players, let's say, of the ecosystem together so that we can unite in a single front. But before starting, maybe I would love for you to introduce yourself for the listeners of the Hero podcast. Who are you? What brought you close to the climate space and to Force of Nature in particular?
I'm Kat Hamilton. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm the Partnerships and Programs Director at Force of Nature. I cannot think of a time in my life where I was not part of the climate space. I'm a third generation, third culture kid. For those of you that don't know what that means, that just means that I grew up away from the culture that I was born in or that I'm from. But the reality is, being a third generation, third culture kid, I'm probably more like a sixth or seventh culture kid. I feel quite detached from the place that I have my nationality from. So I was born in the UK and carry a British passport, which comes with a great deal of privileges. But I actually grew up in Singapore and in Indonesia. So I spent most of my childhood very close to the environment. The schools that I went to really encouraged and advocated for critical thinking and like actually looking into the systems that have built the world, including those that have like exploited and ravaged the world and its people. And so I think I had a very like privileged upbringing in having access to that kind of learning. And actually, I graduated from the Green School in Bali, which is a school built of bamboo. So we grow our own vegetables. We studied the world in classrooms without walls. We're all kind of like raised as activists. So I remember writing letters at a very young age to the CEO of Nestle and protesting as a new zoo was built in Bali. And it just felt like a normal thing to do. And it just so happens that Clover, who is the founder of Force of Nature, was 4 years my junior at the Green School. And after leaving school and being in the US for a bit, going to university, I reconnected with Clover and we started chatting about like what our lives looked like. And Clover was telling me about this new startup that she was launching called Force of Nature. And that's kind of where our story began together. And I joined up and that's when we started working with and looking at how to like transform even companies from the inside and bring young people into places where their voices haven't been heard. Because growing up, I think there was this real emphasis on like, it's young people that are going to change the world, right? But then when you graduate from school and you get out there into the world, it's really tough. it's tough like figuring out how you're going to pay rent, figuring out what you're going to do for work. I think there's a real fast route to disillusionment and feeling disconnected. And so for me, working with Force of Nature, I think getting to work with young people and really see like, what does it mean not just to say that young people are going to change the world, but like equip them to do so and make sure that they're funded and like have the resources they need and are connected to the right people. Cause I think that's something that was like fundamentally lacking when I graduated from school. And it's why I also love the work that you're doing at Hero Labs. Cause I think there's a lot of actually equipping young people and what does that look like to take action in their communities.
Oh, that's amazing. And yeah, let's dig a bit deeper into Force of Nature. As you said, it's very natural and organic for you to be thinking about how to push the world forward. But then how do you work with different generations to come to the same point and alignment. So what have been some of the challenges, some of the key learnings, and also some of the positive outcomes that you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a good question. With the foundation of so much of what we do being intergenerational exchange, like this real belief that like we need to unite sort of like the energy and the motivation and inspiration that young people have with like the knowledge and the access to power and the experience that people of older generations have, really just like bridge a lot of these conversations. I think one of the most interesting things that struck me when I first started working with Force of Nature was we hear the same stories from sixth graders in classrooms in like rural England and in like CEOs who are top, like head honchos at some of the world's biggest companies. And the stories are like, I'm too small to make a difference. Like nothing that I do is going to like impact change in a significant way. The problem's too complicated. There's no way I could solve it. I don't have the time or resources, right? Like these are the same stories. And I think that like that real human side, I think especially when we talk about the climate crisis, we're talking about a global issue. And I think for those of us, especially that are spending more and more time online, we're seeing things through a global lens. But I think it's really easy to forget that there are human beings within all of these systems, right? And depending on where you're at in the power structure, that might be millions of others for many generations, or it might be like five people in your family and community. But either way, like actually contextualizing the fact that we have that power is so important. And so a lot of the work that we do at Force of Nature is about that mindset shift. So at Force of Nature, we come up with, against a lot of challenges. I think the structures of power that exist are really hard to like address. And I think also people can feel incredibly defensive to start with, right? Like I think we have been taught under capitalism as well to make our jobs our identities. So when you critique a company's actions, people within that company believe you're making a personal statement against them in many senses. And so a lot of the work that we do in our workshops and our youth advisory boards is like starting from a place of humanity, like, okay, we're all human beings, like trying our best. We are going to critique systems, but we're going to critique systems and not individuals. And so bringing young people into rooms and critically bringing young people from communities who are most affected by the climate crisis with the safeguarding that has to be in place when you work with young people and intergenerational exchange, right? It's like then actually having really critical discussions. And you see as these discussions, when they're most effective, like people do come back to like their humanity and do come back to like, oh, okay, like the actions that I take as a CEO of a multinational company are affecting very real people. And there are ways to do things differently, you know, and there are people already doing things differently who can lead.
You're touching on a very core value of HERO, which is dialogue. We believe putting humanity first and understanding that we are dealing with systems and, as you well mentioned, not specifically individuals. But from your experience, what is the starting point? What unites people from all backgrounds and all sorts of levels of power as well from your experience?
Yeah, I think the starting point is a feeling. And for some people, that feeling is, I feel really eco-anxious. I'm scared about the future and I don't know what to do about it. For some people, the feeling is, I'm angry and this is unjust and unfair. For some people, it's like sadness and it looks a multifaceted amount of ways. And for some people, it's curiosity, right? There are all sorts of levels of climate privilege and there are people experiencing the climate crisis now from very different backgrounds and lived experiences and in very real ways. We start all of our workshops and sessions with just a question of like, how does the climate crisis make you feel? And on any given day, it might be different for each person. But when we start there, we are able to relate to each other as like a human being that has emotions. And I think that unlocks a lot for us and in the conversations that we have. And that's part of the mindset shift, right? Is like understanding that our feelings can have us step up. They can encourage us to step up. But whatever that feeling is, it's an indication of something. And it may just be an indication that you care, right? And you want to do something. And in that case, like, okay, let's activate from that place.
I think that's very important because actually feelings drive actions or inaction as well. So I think it's crucial what you're doing of having people to maybe stop for a second and understand, like, how does this make you feel, right? And I think when we start from that more human side. And I think that will require a lot of empathy from each other to really understand where everyone is at the moment. I think that that's where change, you know, will start happening faster. So I really love that. Now, moving more into a topic that it's really key for us is funding and financing climate mobilizers around the world, right? You're describing this incredible force of young people that are really passionate about the topic and understand the consequences of inaction. So they're giving their time, their precious volunteer time in most of the cases, almost full time to this type of work. And unfortunately, it's not being paid. And at Hero, we believe that this is one of the most important jobs of our time. So what is your take also as an activist and mobilizer yourself? Why is it so crucial to have that type of stable monthly funding to climate activists and mobilizers around the world so that they can spend more time and have that ease you mentioned at the beginning, going out from university and looking for that career that matches your purpose and passion and also the action on the climate crisis? This could be a great way to power a new generation of climate leaders.
Yeah, I'll peel back some of the layers on like force of nature and how we operate, which might be interesting to listeners to kind of illustrate this point, because there's coming into the environmental space, people always hear about the big players, right? Like we all know Greenpeace, WWF, and also we know that like the big players are often under fire for different things that they're doing, because when you are that visible, and you're that large, you have had to make decisions about receiving funding or money that might compromise your values. There's all sorts of organizations that are now more and more doing work around people and planet that's really positive. And obviously, like, you can always go and get a job there. And what you're doing in that case is you're signing on to an organization's mission and saying, yep, I'm going to work towards that with you because I believe in it. And I think what I see, like, particularly with Hero, and actually when we talk about like mobilizers or individuals who are engaging in policy, but who are doing so by activating communities of people, those mobilizers are most often independent. They're fighting for what they believe is right. And often that like grassroots activation means that they're informed of their community needs, right? And they're working from that place. They're saying, whether it's like suing a government or whether it's like lobbying politicians in their area or whether it's boycotting companies, it's really that like grassroots level that means that it's very, in many cases, it's like people first. And it's not, more and more we're seeing like these mobilizers going after like these systemic giants, those who have power and influence in a major way, like governments or big companies. And it's so necessary to have action like that on all fronts. I think like the work that we do at Force of Nature more often now is going to the inside of companies, right? And like my activism looks very different than someone's activism who is on the street banner bearing and making noise and activating people. And I think both are important. And actually, I think we need all kinds of activism in order to get as much attention on what is like an urgent, time-bound, critical issue that is affecting millions already, right? One of the things that we grappled with at Force of Nature, I really did not want us to become a nonprofit that was beholden to donations, because I think that's where it becomes so difficult, right? Like you see so many nonprofits doing this and then really struggling. I even think about like Rally International is a massive UK nonprofit, and they closed because of bankruptcy, and they're massive. They were bringing in millions. And so like when I look at the nonprofit complex, I just think that it's not effective within the capitalist system. And so when we started figuring out how Force of Nature was going to run, we're like, okay, we can't be just reliant on donations. And that's where we started charging for the work that we do with companies and actually like building out workshops, building out toolkits. And that allowed us to sustain ourselves just enough that we could grow and run more of the free content we do for young people. It really embedded into our principles that like young people have to be paid to do this work. Because if you're spending your time speaking on stages, lobbying politicians, writing informative content, educating others, facilitating workshops, spending your time consulting for companies, that's labor, right? And that needs to be paid. And so we've built into our model at Force of Nature that any of the work that young people do through us, they will be paid for. And they won't be paid minimum wage. They'll be paid like a living wage or more, right? We pay consultant fees to all of the young people that work with us. And this is where like the next piece comes in. Like internal sustainability is so important, right? Like I look at environmentalists who have been doing this work for years and years, whose shoulders we stand on. And there are so many people who over time can become disillusioned and feel like not enough change is happening fast enough. And I already feel that, right? But also the immense pressure that you come under living under capitalism and not being paid for your work, right? Like,
yeah.
I am all for a utopia in which we don't have to, like, you know, get paid a salary every month in order to, like, pay rent for the place we live in and pay for the food that we eat. But right now, the reality is we live under capitalism. And we have to act that way, too. We can't, like, demonize environmentalists for getting paid for their work, because the reality is they also need to pay their bills and, like, have a roof over their head. And if people don't want to pay environmentalists for their work and don't want to pay educators for their work and don't want to pay young people who are showing up to like really create change and make action happen, then you're suddenly looking at a world in which it's not possible to do this for any significant amount of time. And I think a lot of people, like even with some of these models, we're starting to see where young people are getting paid and activists and mobilizers are finding ways to finance their work. Like, we are nowhere near a perfect system. I'm a huge proponent of like a universal living wage. That sounds great. But obviously, like the systems we live in aren't working fast towards making that happen at the moment. So I think it's really important that like, yeah, people are financed. And we see also, like, I think in environmental movements and movements in general through history, like communities come together to support one another and share resources and, you know, share tactics and like uplift one another. And we have to continue doing that as well. But I definitely think like moving towards really addressing and uplifting and resourcing mobilizers who are doing this work day in and day out and who are fighting for policy change and enabling them to do that work on a consistent basis. I think it's like everyone has skills and passions and a problem they want to solve, and talents and a pool of resources, you know, internal resources in terms of knowledge and connections. And I think like if there are people who are out there working for their community and they're good at it and they're mobilizing people, like resourcing those people and ensuring that like the people we're resourcing are representative of their community and like, you know, not the same activists over and over again, I think that's like hugely valuable. And at Force of Nature, like we've seen a lot of young people who are from different communities around the world who like are doing so much work unpaid and who might just need, you know, like $100 make all the difference, or, you know, making sure that they can get that flight to that summit in which they're able to get their voices heard, like making sure that there's avenues to access for people who have been historically marginalized or excluded from these spaces is so important, because otherwise we're not going to change the system either.
Yeah, all these mobilizers are really working for the common good. I mean, everything they do, it's actually going to benefit the rest of humanity. So we need to support that work. And as you well described, I mean, it's a huge amount of work behind the scenes. Most of that work is not seen. And we need to keep finding ways to recognize that important role and to get people on board. So it's key. So I'm just going to ask you our last question that we ask every guest on this podcast. So what does it mean for you to be a hero?
I think one of the roots of environmental justice that I keep coming back to is like really that it all comes from love. Fundamentally, what we're talking about when we are out there on the streets or in boardrooms or in community with one another, the roots of taking action like this, about saying like, actually, I'm going to stand up for what I believe is right and what I believe is good. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight for justice for people and see that these things are interconnected. It's about caring for your community, for people, for the planet. I think like being a hero for me is about taking action on that caring and just like really listening to and learning from people and saying like, okay, what can I do from where I am with the skills and talents I have, with the influence that I have, how can I help? What can I do? So realizing that we have power where we are and we have even more power when we work together. Yeah, it comes back to me every time that I'm starting to feel a little bit anxious or disempowered or disconnected. I look for my community and I say, how can I help? What can I do where I am right now?
Well said. I love it. Kat, thank you so much for joining this episode of the Hero Podcast, for sharing all those valuable insights and experiences. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Climate Humans. Climate Humans is produced by Josie Coulter and edited, mixed, and mastered by Ben Beheshti. Climate Humans is created and hosted by Mauricio Porras. Climate Humans is brought to you by Hero, the first platform where you can directly fund people-powered climate solutions, like the incredible people you hear on this show. You can start supporting our everyday heroes for as little as €6 per month. Just head to herocircle.app to subscribe. That's herocircle.app. In the meantime, do remember,
I think one of the roots of environmental justice that I keep coming back to is like really that it all comes from love.
See you next time.